Amen.
Praise God. There is something I want to do before we go any further. May I use your microphone, Pastor Mike, on the handheld? There's something I want to play for you in the light of all the things that have been going on and you all enjoying this phenomenal year. You may have already heard this, but this is a word that was given by Pastor John Kilpatrick about the wind has shifted. The wind has shifted. So it's about 4 minutes long, so I want you just to listen, hear, and receive in Jesus' name. Glory to God.
I heard the Lord say to me, the wind has shifted. This is the year of the wind. This year. Will be very unusual on many levels. As a matter of fact, a phrase will be repeated over and over on the lips of many nations. I have never seen anything like this before. Seemingly nothing will remain normal any longer. This will not just be an American phenomenon, but it will touch all the continents. The Lord shall rise up and make himself known. The forgotten shall shout for joy. The heathen will see a great light. Unbelievers will take another look. Nations shall be shaken, but kingdoms will be jolted. Dead, dry bones will experience a fresh prophetic wind. Some will struggle with the question, is this God or is this the devil? But I want you to know God will receive all the glory for his mysterious wonders. This will be a year of the winds of God, and they're already blowing even as I speak. You've had obstacles in your face. It has been as though you've experienced a contrary wind in your face, hindering your every move. As a matter of fact, for many years, almost everything you have attempted has experienced setbacks. In your face is the phrase that best fits where you've been. Countless adversaries have been in your face withstanding you. Now things have shifted. What was once resistance to you has now moved behind you and is working in your favor, propelling you forward. Things have definitely changed almost overnight from contrary to favorable. This favorable wind is so timely for you in so many ways. God says he's got you back. There's going to be a shift in the wind that will cause life-giving air of your loved ones who have fainted. Even backsliders and those who have been slowly dying will catch their breath again. And those who are saturated with the cares of this life, and those who suffer dark depression, have been battling anxiety attacks, shall finally find rest and relief. As in the upper room, it was a rushing, mighty wind, and God says this wind will cover you and your loved one. The Spirit is about to set on your sons and your daughters and others of your household. As a matter of fact, as I'm speaking, he's rushing right now while I'm giving this prophecy. I said he's rushing while I'm speaking. Holy Spirit is resuscitating and reviving you. Hyperventilation and fearful breathing is giving way to peaceful, restful breathing. I declare unto you that sweet sleep is going to begin to come upon you even from this moment forward. God promises to give his beloved rest. There's coming a great international harvest of souls through the internet and online. The Holy Spirit said that the internet is about to light up as the Holy Spirit is going to accelerate his mighty wonders. Miraculous provision is about to come to God's people. Time is of the essence, and the waters are abundant for harvest. A new and very powerful wind of anointing will blow across the internet. It will blow in real time. Signs and wonders will be witnessed without edit. Holy Spirit is revealing to you that he is leading us into a time of triple grace. This will be the Lord's doings. It is marvelous in our eyes, and God wants everyone in this house.
Watching
online,
begin to
pray now in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say, the wind has shifted. That which had resisted me is now pushing me forward. In Jesus' name. The wind has shifted in my life, in my family, in my business, in my nation. The wind has shifted. Things have changed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout unto the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yes. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. We receive that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I try to listen to that almost every day. Glory to God. You know, what you listen to makes a difference in your life. What you look at makes a difference in your life. And if people are speaking negative things to you, just stop listening to them and start going listening to something that's positive. Something that's going to build you up. Something that's going to lift you up. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You got a smartphone, then act smart. Amen. Don't just look at any old crazy thing on there. Find something that's going to build you up, that's going to stir you up. Amen. Glory to God. I don't come to church waiting to be lifted up. I come to church already lifted up. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I tell you, when I get out of bed, hey, amen, I start getting lifted up right then and there. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Well, I bring greetings to you from Melbourne, Florida. We've been in the midst of some tremendous things. We're in the midst of some shifting and some changing that's going on even now. And God is faithful. Amen. Can somebody say God is faithful? If you can witness that God is faithful, lift your hands up right now. Glory to God and say, thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness in my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we've been in the midst of some shifting and things like that. But we keep moving, going from faith to faith and glory to glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know. I got up here and all, something just jumped on me. Amen. Something phenomenal jumped on me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anyway, I bring greetings to you from my wife, Marion, who's preaching in my absence today, and my family, our church. And I'm just glad to be here with you again. And I know God is moving. Last time I was here, we were not in here. Amen. But we're here now. Glory to God. Come on, put your hands together and thank God for his faithfulness. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know what? There's even greater. I said there's even greater. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said, don't go nowhere. Just hold on. You ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. Hallelujah. I have a gentleman in my church. He's born and raised in Berlin. And so he's in our church. And I said, you know what, Uwe? I want you to give me a yabba dabba do. And he just shouted out, yabba dabba do. Glory to God. I never heard anybody shout yabba dabba do. That was sad. Amen. Glory to God. You know, sometimes you shout hallelujah and sometimes we shout yabba dabba do. Praise God. But anyway, I've enjoyed myself so far. Thank God for your worship this morning. That was tremendous. And thank you for you being here. Thank you for your supply of the Spirit. Thank you for your standing with Pastor Mike and Ann and undergirding them, being the Aaron and the Hers of this generation. Praise God. And we believe God, as I said before, you hadn't seen anything yet. Amen. Sometimes I preached my first message when I was 16 years old, and I said everything I knew in 10 minutes. Those days are gone forever. Amen. You know, you start walking with God, he just keep adding to you. Amen. Last month I was in Jamaica and preached in 5 different churches while I was there. Some people go there to vacation. I go there to preach. Amen. And while I'm preaching there, the thought came up and someone made a comment about, you know, we're going to get everything we can out of him. I said, you're going to be here a while then. Amen. Because, for the last, month. I turned 58. And God's been depositing ever since. Amen. And we thank God for his keeping his word. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Today I want to talk to you about something that, as I said before, we as a church, we at Maranatha Christian Center in Melbourne, Florida, we're in the midst of shifting and changing and going from faith to faith and glory to glory. And you know, one thing I discover about people, sometimes people, they don't like changing. They don't like shifting. But, you know, it is necessary.
Yes.
Amen. And some people are comfortable right where they are. But God has not called us to stay right where we are. He's called us to go from faith to faith and glory to glory. And every round should go higher in your life. Amen. And so we shouldn't come to a place where we become sedentary in life, but that we're always moving up, that we're always stretching ourselves. You know, I come to understand in walking with God that he'll stretch you. And sometimes you run into places that go like, how in the world are we going to get through this? You know, I read in the Bible and regarding Moses and the children of Israel, they came to a place after being delivered out of Egypt supernaturally. They came to a place to get to the next area that needs need divine intervention. And let me tell you this, every supernatural call requires supernatural backing. Amen. I believe that this church is still here because of supernatural backing in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody said I should have been gone a long time ago, but God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Woo, glory. I'm about to have a West Harbor, as Brother Hagin said, a West Harbor fit. Amen. Somebody said, what in the world is that? You're just a shouting spell. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some shout, some run. Glory to God. I'm trying to hold myself down. And somebody said, hold my mule while I shout. Amen. Amen. He's bucking. I'm trying to hold on to him though. Glory to God. But we're in the midst of shifting. And in the midst of shifting, you know, you get to see the hand of God move. And you get to see things happen. But at the same time, there's a requirement for us as well that there be a shifting. And that we be continue to change and that we continue to move up. Amen. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to move up higher. You know, God is depending on you to do that and to flow with him. And so if you will, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 4. And in the midst of shifting, some of the shifting, that one of the things that's shifting where we are concerned, and we are looking to purchase a facility. Not just looking, we're going to purchase a facility for our ministry. And we've been leasing for years. And I challenged the congregation last fall. I said, you know what? Enough of doing this. I said, it's time for us to purchase our own place. It's time for you to have us to have our own roots. And it's time to make some devils even madder. You know, I discovered one thing. Devil hates when you get real estate. I'm talking about the church. Amen. And I said, we're going to get our own real estate, praise God, and we're just going to continue to grow from there. And you know what? I believe, somebody said, why would you get real estate? Because I believe the ministry is going to outlast me.
Amen.
Amen. It'll continue beyond me. But praise God, we're going to give a good start, and we want to see it continue to flourish years from now. And every now and then, I go into certain cities, and they talk about they're having a celebration of a 100-year celebration, a 150-year celebration of a church or ministry. And I said, you know what? That's what I'm talking about. It's not about me. It's about the work of God. It's about changing lives. And so we have to set the course so that everything will flow that way and develop a culture. Amen. Develop a culture where it's there and there are certain expectations. Amen. I said, there are certain expectations. And so here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, the scripture says, from that time, everybody say, from that time.
Yeah.
From that time, Jesus began to preach and say. Did y'all know Jesus was a preacher?
Yes.
Oh, my. Sure, when I get over on the other side, I like to hear some of them sermons.
Yeah.
I said, I read about him, but I like to hear some of those sermons that he preached. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does it say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Ben Campbell Johnson's paraphrase of this, it's not Brother Stan's brother, but anyway, Ben Campbell Johnson's paraphrase of this scripture says, change your attitudes and your actions, for an invasion of the spirit is imminent.
Yes.
Change what? Your attitudes and your actions, for an invasion of the spirit is imminent. In other words, the Holy Ghost is on go. He's ready to go somewhere. He's ready to take us somewhere. He just need our consent to move with him. But he's ready. Amen. And so there has to be some change within us in order for us to do everything that he wants to do. And that's what Christianity is all about. Christianity is about changing. Amen. We don't get saved to keep doing what we used to do. Amen, somebody. When we get saved, there's a change about our life. There should be some changes. Some people readily accept it and run with it. Some people, they drag their feet. Some people, they get saved and they just stop right there. But hear this. It's about change, and it's about going to places and walking and being as God would have us to be. The scripture said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Amen. We are already the sons of God.
Amen.
And I'm not just a son of Douglas and Betty Oliver. I'm a son of God. I am born from above. I've been refathered from above. And so the scripture tells us also that to imitate Christ, in order for me to imitate him, there can be some changes about Clyde's life.
Yes.
Amen. And see, hear this. God want me to cooperate with him, and I want to cooperate with him as well. And so there must be some shifting. And the Holy Spirit is there to assist us in the midst of it. Amen. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 16, he told them that I'm not going to leave you alone, but I'm going to send another comforter. I'm going to send another standby. I'm going to send someone who's an intercessor. I'm going to send someone who's a helper. I'm going to send somebody to help you be all you're supposed to be.
Amen.
And you know, if there's anyone that knows what Jesus is like and how he walked and talked, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And where does he live? If you're a Christian, he lives on the inside. Amen. And I think sometimes we need to become Holy Spirit conscious. And where he is, because so many times we pray, oh God in heaven, and we forget that who's living in us. And wherever we go, he goes right along with it. Do you understand that the Holy Spirit is the most intelligent being in the universe? And guess where he's living? He's living in us. Hallelujah. You know what? When you realize that, ought to change the way you walk. If you used to walk with your head down, it's time to lift your head up. Why? Because you're somebody. Because you have the most intelligent being in the universe living in you. Hallelujah. Amen. And he wants you to experience phenomenal things throughout the rest of your life. He wants you to set phenomenal things in motion so that other people will gravitate toward that, run toward that. And you know, that you set the bar real high. Amen. He wants us not just to have a phenomenal year. He wants us to have a phenomenal life. Amen. Oh, glory to God. You know, my life has radically changed since I've come to know him. Amen. I've had challenges. Sure, I've had challenges. I mean, you live in this world, you're going to have challenges. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, in the world, you're going to have tribulations. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. One translation, I think Amplified Bible said, Jesus said the last part, I have deprived it of power to harm you. Oh, glory to God. Sometimes things happen to us because we think that's what's supposed to happen. But when you realize that it's been deprived of power, in other words, Jesus pulled the devil's teeth. He's not biting you. You're the only one that got teeth. That's why the scripture said, don't bite and devour one another. It ain't the devil doing it, it's us. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Ooh, my Lord, my God. So Jesus said what? Change your attitudes and your actions. And who he's talking to? Is he just talking to the fivefold ministry? Or he's talking to the church. To change your attitudes and your actions. You know, this past week I was attended a conference over in Sarasota, Florida. And it's talking about change. Me changing. Oh, boy. Sometimes I think I'm perfect, but then I realize I need lots of help. Amen. And I'm attending the conference, and all of a sudden, it's a stretching conference, too. And next thing I know, I'm like, oh, my God, Clyde, you got to change some more. Even at the age of 57, going on 58, you still have to change. You haven't arrived yet. And I was like, well, I'm up to it. Amen. God's brought me this far. I'm going to keep going. Hey, I'm not going to back away from it. I have a lot of friends that I graduated with, you know, from high school and all. You know, they are retiring and things like that. They want to get to a place where they settle down in the rocking chair. Man, I'm looking forward to the next 25, 30 plus years of moving forward, taking it to another level. I'm looking to going into all the earth in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. I'm looking to be on bigger platforms in Jesus' name. I'm looking to have more influence than I've ever had before. But in order for all that to happen, you know what? I have to change. I have to change. And I said, okay, Holy Spirit, help me to change. Hear this. As a corporate body of believers, we can contend for the supernatural or we can settle for the superficial. It's up to us. Now hear this. When we contend for the supernatural, we have to step out. That means it's going to require some actions for us, from us. We can't just be like average. Anybody can be average. But to be extraordinary, you got to do a little bit extra. Amen. A lot of ordinary people. Guess what? God has called us to rise above that and be what? Extraordinary people. Why? Hear this. It's the extraordinary people that experiences phenomenal years and have a phenomenal life. Why? Because they go a little bit further. They do a little bit more. They pray a little bit harder. They stay a little bit longer. Amen. And everybody else, other people, when they quitting, you just say, no. Well, if you're quitting, go on, quit. But I'll tell you what, I'm moving forward. Matter of fact, I'm stirring it up. I'm moving forward even more in Jesus' name. Amen. In other words, to change, we have to stay focused. We have to stay focused. You know, one of the things my wife told me, you know, it wasn't something that I really wanted to hear in the beginning. But, you know, that's my wife. She's her and the Holy Ghost. They work together. And sometimes it seemed like they team up against me. But anyway, I know they both love me. Amen. And she said, Clyde, I tell you one thing about you. Because we're talking about our church and all. She said, a lot of people don't like you because you are an in-your-face preacher. And when you preach with expectations of people changing. And a lot of people don't want that. They would rather go to a church that doesn't expect anything of them. But you're the type preacher, you expect them to change. You expect better from them. You encourage them to be better, to do better, to have more. You encourage them to rise up and not just stay where you are. And she said, you got to realize that you're not average and ordinary. That's how I receive. Amen. Glory to God. I come to find out three kinds of people. Three kinds of people. Number one, there are pioneers. You know, thank God for the pioneers where this nation was concerned. Huh? They left the comfort zone and they went to a new land. And forget all the other stuff that go along with it. Just forget all that. They left. And if any change is going to take place, first thing we got to do is get up and start moving. Amen, somebody. We got to do something different. And everybody want to be at, you know, at this particular place over here. But everybody want to get up and do what it takes to get over there. And in the midst of you going there, you're going to face some challenges. It just go along with life. But because you face challenges does not mean that God is not with you. God is with you. God is for you. Amen. God still believes in you, even when you face challenges. Why? Why do we face challenges? Because we're still on the earth. But guess what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. I'm telling you, when you recognize that, you just snap to attention and just realize me quit, impossible. Me fail, impossible. Why? I got the greater one living in me. Then on top of that, Romans chapter 8, verse 34, the scripture said, tells us that Jesus is making intercession for us. I never forgot the Holy Spirit branded that scripture in my heart that the Holy, he said that Jesus is praying for you. And when I realized that Jesus is praying for me, one thing I know about Jesus, he gets his prayers answered. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. You come to a place, you say, you know what? Let's just back off. Let's just give it up. I think we've done enough. No. Hey, realize Jesus is praying for you. And get up and start moving again. First kind of person is pioneers. Pioneers, they say, we're going to make something happen. If it's to be, it's up to me. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I'm not waiting on somebody else. I'm not praying for somebody else to go do it. Bless God, I got 2 feet. Amen. I'm moving myself. Hear this. We have to be an agent of change. Second kind of person is settlers. Settlers. They got up, they started moving, then they come to a place where they settle down. You know, that's why we built this great country. Because people started out from the East Coast and they started moving to the West Coast. And everybody had idea that they were going to get to the West Coast. But somewhere along the line, somebody said, you know what? I think this is as far as we're going. You know, they said there was a gold rush, I think it was in California in 1849. And a lot of people left here. Some sold everything and said, you know what? We're going to become rich. I'm telling you, we're going to become rich. Amen. But somewhere along the line, they lost the focus. Maybe the wife got pregnant. And she said, you know, we can't travel like we used to. Amen. Things happen in life. But I'm telling you, when you set out to do something, you have to stay focused. Now hear this. You know, that's not the only person that's going to have a pregnancy going from here to there. But when you have the pregnancy and when you have the baby, you know what? Sometimes you may just sit down for a minute, but you can't stop. You got to keep talking about it. And then you got to keep moving. Amen. If you only move 10 miles a month, you got to keep moving. Somebody said, what are you doing? I said I was going to California. We sold everything. We left our family because we have something in mind. And somebody said, why do we want to do that? Because we're not there yet. Someone tell a story of a gentleman from Tanzania who ran in the marathon in 1968 Olympics in Mexico. And as he's beginning to run, he has this terrible fall. He winds up breaking his leg. Well, he broke his leg and people said, just stay there. There'll be people that come to give you some attention, take care of you and things like that. He said, No. I don't need that. I'll be all right. See, sometimes you got to have some intestinal fortitude. When everybody else agreed that you need to just sit, you have to have some intestinal fortitude and say, no, this is not my lot in life. And he got up and he just began to drag with that leg and even the bone was stuck out. And he just began to drag and drag. And late in the evening, there are a few people still left in the stadium and they see him coming to the finish line. And everybody that were there stood up and they started to clap. And he came on in and he crossed over the finish line and passed out. Amen. You know, the scripture said that the spirit of a man will sustain him. Oh, glory to God. You don't know what you're made of. Amen. I said, you don't know what you're made of. Hey, you got stuff that the kingdom of darkness, the powers of darkness can't stop. Amen. Matter of fact, they can't even stop you from getting born again. Amen. You can be the worst of the worst criminals in history. And when you make a decision, you want to receive Jesus, can't no demon stop you. Or they can say, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But they can't stop you. Why? Because you have your own will. Amen. Oh, glory to God. May we come to the point where we begin to realize what's on our inside and let our inside come to the outside. They interviewed this man and they asked him, they said, why is it that you continued running this race, moving in this race, even after breaking your leg? And the man snapped to with all the pain in his body. And he said, sir, my country did not send me to start the race. My country sent me to finish the race. Oh, glory to God. Look at somebody and say, I'm not quitting. I'm going to finish the race. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. So you got pioneers. You have settlers. Then you got museum keepers. They just collect relics. But they're not doing anywhere. They lost sight. Listen here. It doesn't make a difference what your age is. You got to keep moving. Too many times people allow their age to keep them from fulfilling their God-given destiny. And they use their age and say, well, you know, I'm such and such age. Listen here. You know more now than you've ever known. Now, let me help you here. Because, see, you know, as you get older, sometimes people say, well, I don't quite move like I used to move. Well, a lot of times because you've been hanging around the wrong people. And listen to what they say. I'm not looking to go to no nursing home, no rest home. Not me. Unless I can go there and run it. Amen. Yeah, that sometimes people hang around the wrong people. Not too long ago, I guess it was probably back in January. You know, my wife, she's still in the pharmacy, and now she has like 12 clients that she do services for. And so she works in Melbourne. She goes to Orlando. She likes to move around. And I said, you know, I just made up in my mind that, you know, I'll make sure she got a good breakfast because my wife is a snacker. She loves to snack. Anything in there, she'd grab a cold piece of chicken, anything. And I said, we got to do better than this. I mean, the house is full. See, there's plenty of food. But if it ain't done, she ain't fixing it, okay? So guess what? Clyde had to make some changes. Besides, I said I love her, so I do whatever it takes. And so I get up in the morning, I fix breakfast for her. And quiet, this is my girl. I ain't got no others. She's the recipient of all my love. I ain't cooking for nobody else, all right? And so this one night, I got in bed probably about 1, 2, something like that. And so I heard her around 6 moving around in between the bathroom and all. And I went, oh, my God, I got to get up. I forgot she's going in early today. She's leaving around 7:15, something like that. And I was tired. I mean, like really, really tired. And as I'm laying there, I hear on my inside a song that I hadn't heard in years. And the song just come up on my inside. You know, this Holy Spirit, he lives in you. And he'll give you things that'll cause you to step up. But you got to grab hold of them. You have to embrace it. You have to receive it. It's from the Holy Spirit. And the song was, you give strength to me as I worship thee. And my mouth is filled with praise. And you break the bands as I lift my hands. and bring glorious liberty. And I heard it and I went, my first thought was, just shut up. Because I wanted to agree that I was real tired. But I said, no, I threw my leg off the bed. And then I brought the other one and I stood up and I lifted my hands and I began to sing. Somebody say, the spirit of a man will sustain him. And I began to sing, you give strength to me as I worship thee, and my mouth is filled with praise, and you break the bands as I lift my hands and bring glorious liberty. I sang that about three or four times, and it seemed like somebody gave me a shot of B12. All of a sudden, I like, snap to. And man, went in. I didn't go tell my wife, oh, how tired I am. Sometimes we reinforce our defeat. We reinforce negative situations. Sometimes you just need to be quiet. You know, some people, they like to communicate with their spouse, but they communicate the wrong things. Some things just between you and the Holy Ghost. There are some things only the Holy Ghost and I know about. Amen. I don't need to depress her. Amen. She's getting ready to go out and be a blessing to other people, and I'm going to come dragging in with my baggage. Just before she go to work and dump that out there. And then she got to go off thinking about all that. Oh, no, 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 no. I told you, she's the recipient of all my love. So, you know, a lot of times I want to talk about some certain things, and I go like, no, I ain't telling that. I got to check in the inside. Don't share that with her. She don't need to hear that right now. I don't know everything that's going on in her mind, but the Holy Spirit knows. And if the Holy Spirit says, don't share it. Somebody says, well, I need to tell somebody. Well, go in the bathroom and tell yourself. Remember, Jesus said, change your attitudes and your actions. Why? Because there's an invasion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. There's an invasion. Hear this. Constant change is here to stay. Also remember this. Change is not change until you change. Sometimes we've heard the word preached. And we still ain't changed. That's why you hear some messages over and over. Because we ain't changed. And the Holy Spirit knows that. And sometimes you go, I don't know why Pastor preaching that. He just preached that 3 months ago. You know, the Bible said knowledge puffs up. Just having knowledge will not change you. It is the application of the knowledge that changes you. Amen. And you know, I heard somebody say, you know, cause they talk about me like I'm supposed to be something special because I work at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. I said, a lot of people work at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Everybody didn't turn out like me. To turn out like me, you got to decide to be like me. And it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with cooperating with the Holy Spirit and rising up to the word that's preached. Hear this, just sitting in church will not change you any more than you sitting in your garage is going to turn you into a car. Amen. It's not enough just to say that was a good word. Sometimes we hear some words that we ought to go, man, you're all over my toes. Man, that was a hard word. Amen, somebody. Again, talking about the importance of what? Change. There was something I just saw I wrote here. So when we find out what we're supposed to do, we have to focus on that. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 said, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision. In other words, we were created not to just have sight, but also to have insight. And what do you mean? Insight comes from the inside. Because that'll drive you when things on the outside are not just up to par. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen. the things around you, the stuff that's going on, your kids acting up, this going on, the people at your job acting crazy, you know, the government acting up. Politician ain't politician no more. They everything is crazy around you. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. In other words, it's not just what you see on the outside, but what do you see on the inside? What you see on the inside drives the change. Amen. Because the things that we see on the outside are temporary. Amen. You know, that's why you have a new newspaper every day. Because, you know, it's temporary. Where I was born and raised in Virginia, you know, we used to get the Richmond Times Dispatch. Used to come out, used to have a morning edition and an evening edition. Think about it. It changes every day. The Bible ain't changed yet. Now, I know right now the government trying to change it, but it ain't changing. Matter of fact, the word of God tells us anybody that changes, there's a curse that'll come on you for trying to change it. Oh, glory to God. We thank God for his grace. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Hear this. I'll make this statement. Where there is clarity of vision, there is acceleration toward the goal. Where there is clarity of vision. In other words, sometimes you got to turn off your smartphone, your tablet, your computer, and friends, and get alone by yourself and learn to see what's on your inside and allow that to develop and allow that to propel you to be all that God created you to be. Some people cannot hear the voice of the Holy Spirit for listening to all the videos on Facebook. And it's entertaining. It's entertaining. But hear this. You don't want to become a museum keeper. You are destined to go a lot further than that. People have lost track of their time because we have all these devices now. And they don't do what they're supposed to do to get where they're supposed to be. You have to be tough on yourself. Everybody want to be a millionaire, but everybody don't do what it takes to be a millionaire. You know, there's a saying that the average millionaire works 14 hours a day. The average citizen in America works 8 hours and they're trying to cut those hours down. Amen. Somebody, I'm looking for a shorter work week. Listen here. I'm not jealous of any man. I'm not jealous of any millionaires or billionaires. Because guess what? The same stuff they made of, I am too. Has nothing to do with where you're born. Has nothing to do with the pigmentation of your skin. It all has to do with whether you're going to turn to your inside and learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, whether you're going to take the time and develop and become the great person, the phenomenal person that God created you to be. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, my best days are ahead of me. Your best days are ahead of you. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Someone once said that the only one that really likes change is a baby with a wet diaper. Amen. I heard one preacher said, he said, you know what? When it comes time for the offering, I don't like change. Change makes me nervous. Yeah, when you hear the offering containers pass and you hear a lot of change, go, oh, Lord. We have to pray now. He said, I'd like a quiet offering. Amen. Now hear this. The change is okay. If that's all you got, then work what you got. But I'm telling you, when you work with what you got, you move up. Amen. You move up. And you go from change to $100 bills. You know, I was in Jamaica thanks to the IMF, the Jamaican money has been devalued, where it's like 100 to 1. You know, a lot of these nations, like Pastor Mike talking about Nigeria, their currency used to be 1 to 1 with the dollar. Yeah.
What's more than the
dollar? Yeah. Huh?
What's more than the dollar?
Yes. Yes, it was. But now it's like 150, 160 to 1.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes the people have a lot to do with it, the leaders, you know, but yeah. Because some people don't want to change. And hear this. When I'm there, you know, I have $500, you know, Jamaican money, currency. I have $500. You know, you may have $1,000. You may have $5,000 bills and all that. And people look at you. You may have a nice little roll. But when you go to buy something, he said, man, I got $25,000. I think I'll go there and get me a Toyota. Not with Jamaica money. If you had American dollars, $25,000, you can get your nice Toyota. But not with Jamaica money. You need five times that. You know? Now hear this. Change is something that we have to face in life. The day you stop facing change and changing is the day you die. A lot of times people, they dream up until the age of about 25. And then after 25, they just become settlers. They become museum keepers until they die. They really never dream anymore because it seems like life is too difficult. It's easier just to kind of blend in, get a little spot, a plot of land, and just stay there. You know, we talk to God about a car, and God's trying to talk to us about car dealerships.
Yeah, there
you go. Amen. His thinking is on another level.
Yes.
And he makes statements like, all things are possible to him that believes. With God, all things are possible. So he thinks on a different level. I want to come up to his level.
That's it.
Amen. Oh, glory to God. Now, when you come up to his level, you're going to blow a lot of people's mind. But just remember who you're walking with. Amen. Ignore all that other stuff.
Amen.
Hear this. So, you know, people, when they're caused to face reality, they may run from it. Don't run from it. Because if you run from it later on, you'll have to deal with it. Face it right then and there. It's kind of like this. My mom said, I'm going to give you a whipping. I don't want it. I want the whipping right then. I don't want to be walking around thinking about the whipping. That's torment by itself. And you don't know when the whipping coming. And every time you see your mom, you're ducking, you're walking certain ways and all that, you know. Just go ahead and get it over with. When I face change, I want to go ahead and get it over with. I don't want to keep coming up on my inside and I never do anything about it. Because eventually, if you don't do something about it, the Holy Spirit will stop bringing it up. I don't want that. Because if he brings it up, he's bringing it up for our good. Amen. Oh, my. Hear this. If you need to make changes, then say, Holy Spirit, help me. And you know that's what he is, a helper. Amen. Oh, my. He is a helper. Now, a definition of the word change. Hear this, because I'll make sure you get this. Change is the passing from one place or state. It's the passing from one place or state to another. In other words, we're not the same. The Bible talks to us about changing. It tells us what we need to put on. It tells us to put on Christ. Some Christians never put on Christ. Somebody says, what do you mean put on Christ? Well, go over into the Colossians and they'll tell you what you need to put on. Put on love. And it said, put it on. In other words, you're supposed to wear it just like I'm wearing the suit. You're supposed to wear it. And guess what? God's not going to do it for you. He's never done it for me. He said, Clyde, you can handle this. You know, Jesus, before he went into his ministry, he went into the wilderness. And he went into the wilderness and he whipped that thing. There are some things that you've been facing. I'm telling you, you got to whip it before you move any further. Somebody said, I don't understand why it's still here. You ain't whipped it yet. Amen. You have to rise up. And guess what? You're not doing it alone. God is with you. I look at Luke chapter 9, verse 51. The scripture says, now when the time was almost come for Jesus to be received up to heaven, he steadfastly and determinedly set his face to go to Jerusalem. In other words, he was focused. He was focused. And then we look at Luke 9:62. And I think this is from the Message Bible. It says, but Jesus told him, anyone who lets himself be distracted from the work I planned for him is not fit for the kingdom of God. Is not fit for the kingdom of God. So now hear this. In order to be successful and be all that God wants you to be, you have to make time for that. God gave every man 24 hours in a day. Red men, yellow men, black men, white men, rich men, poor men. He gave everybody 24 hours a day. He said, what you going to do with it? How are you going to steward this day? You know the difference between a person making $50,000 a year and a person making $500,000 a year is 10. And the person, now they could graduate from the same school, same college. And one makes $50,000 a year, one makes $500,000 a year. Why? The one that makes $500,000 do a little bit more than the one that makes $50,000. Just a little bit more. Somebody says, oh, he's lucky. Lucky has nothing to do with it. You know, somebody said, well, guess what luck is? Where opportunity and preparation meet together. Amen. Opportunity and preparation. In other words, I'm not surprised when I win in life. I'm really not. You know why? Because I plan to win. I prepare to win. I expect to win. So when I win, I'm not surprised. Because that's what I set out to do. I plan to win. I prepare to win. I expect to win. See, hear this? When somebody's sitting there watching March Madness, guess what? I'm reading. I'm reading something that's going to add value to me. Well, I go said I spend all my time watching a bunch of future millionaires to run up and down the court. I got to run up and get mine. Amen. there's nothing wrong with watching some things every now and then, but you have to limit things like that. Yes. You can't let that be your life just so you can be able to talk to everybody else and that you're in the know of what's going on. Some people know all the statistics from people since the 50s. And they don't know nothing about changing their life. If you take the time to learn all that, you can take the time to be anything you want to be. Oh, glory to God. Amen, somebody. Hear this. Now hear this. There's something you got to understand. You have to mark people who break your focus. Everybody don't want to go with you. And you have to be willing to let them go. I've let a lot of people go in life. Not because I hate them, not because I didn't like them, but because they were not going the same direction I'm going in. Sometimes you just got to walk on by. I'm not any better than anybody else. You're not any better than anyone else. But hear this, we have to keep moving. Why? I got something on the inside. And I'm trying to get it to the outside. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Somebody said, where are you going? Who you think you are? Oh, I'm Clyde. I'm Clyde. That's who I am. I'm Clyde. But I'm going somewhere. Amen. And people going to have all kind of things to say to you. Let them talk. Because they ain't going nowhere. Museum keepers. You have to mock those who break your focus. When you focus on what you want, it is easier to walk away from what you don't want. Amen. When you focus on what you want, it's easier to walk away from what you don't want. And shall I also say, when you focus on who you want, it's easier to walk away from who you don't want. There are some folks that should never get married. There are some people you should never go into covenant with. But you got to know what you want. Amen. It needs to be clear on your inside. I wrote this down. Three steps to stop procrastination in your life. To keep you from being a museum keeper. To keep you from being a settler. Three steps to stop procrastination. Number one is purpose. You got to have purpose. Remember Miles Monroe said, where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Amen. We've had an abundance of teaching in the last 50 plus years that many of us have not taken advantage of. There have been books written that will propel you past Donald Trump in wealth. But some people just refuse to read them. Some people see a book, they say that book costs $50, but it's written by a billionaire. Somebody said, that book is expensive. No, you just don't have the money. Or you just cheat. If somebody has already figured it out, learn from them. Because you know why? You never live long enough to make all the mistakes yourself. Learn from their mistakes. Amen. You got an 80-year-old, or somebody that's 80-year-old, they wrote a book and it's $50. Buy the book. Amen. Buy the book. Oh, glory. Hear this. The three steps. Number one is purpose. Number two is priority. Got to know your priorities in life. Talking about change. And then number three is passion. It's passion. You know, God got the children of Israel out of Egypt, but he was never able to get Egypt out of them. Never able to get Egypt out of them. And as I bring this to a close, why do people resist change? Number one, people are content with the familiar. They're content with the familiar. Remember, Jesus said, change your attitudes and your action. Nobody else is going to change you but you. Nobody going to change me but me. And the Holy Spirit is there to assist us, but he's not going to do it for us. Amen. He's there to assist us. People are content with the familiar. They identify with their set of habits, their attitudes, and their friends. I already told you, there's some folks you got to leave. As far as priorities, I have the five F's. The five F's as far as your priorities. Number one needs to be your faith. Your faith. Number two needs to be your family. Number three needs to be fitness. Number four is finances. And number five is friends. Some people got friends at the top. Man, I tell you, I love my college buddies, man. Oh, man, they're just talking about where you used to be. Ain't nobody talking about where you're going. Amen. God need to be number one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's why so much craziness in our country and the rest of the world. Because there ain't no fear of God no more. Because when there's a fear of God, there are a lot of things you won't do. And we've allowed, you know, I'm not surprised the world is in the condition that it's in. It's going to get worse. Because we take our people from here in the church. We train them. We go through Sunday school, we go to children's church, we got youth groups and all that. And then we take and send them out into the world to educate them, and they tell them that everything that they were taught in church is irrelevant. We need to have our own schools. We need no devil trying to train our kids. We train our own. Somebody said, but that costs money. So what? Get the money and make the difference. Otherwise, we keep sending our kids to places that don't even believe the way we believe. And it has, hear this, Democrats and Republicans, they all work for the same people. I don't know if you know that or not. And they talk the youth term about conservative and all this. They're conservatives, not like the Bible conservative. There are very few that think the way the Bible thinks. That's just a term to get your vote. Amen. That's all that is. Uh-huh. Yeah. Somebody said, you better watch out for that Oliver. Yeah, you better watch out for me, because I'm going to tell the truth. Amen. I don't know how long I'm going to be in the earth, but as long as I'm here, I'm going to tell the truth. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, they work for the same people. And all the Republicans do is just make sure that the other Republicans just come along and agree with the Democrats in a little while. Because when the Republicans had the House and Congress, they ain't changed nothing for us. They ain't your friends. This is the world system. If anything will change, we got to do it ourselves. We got to have a grassroots effort ourselves to bring about change. We don't depend on them to do it. Because they're good at lying. Somebody said, how you know when a politician is lying? His lips moving. Yeah, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Okay. That's why it's good to look at people's records, see what they have done. Amen, somebody. I said, number one, people, why do people resist change? People are content with the familiar. Clyde Oliver, do not vote straight Democrat. Clyde Oliver, do not vote straight Republican or independent. I do my homework and find out what I'm supposed to do. Amen. Because again, we believe in this. They ain't believe in this. Very few really believe this. And they use terms, say, oh yeah, I'm born again. And they may have been born again. They may have gone to church, may have actually got born again. But when they become politicians, they stray away from this right here. And you know why? Because we don't hold their feet to the fire. Just kind of put up with whatever kind of comes along. Well, you know, that's just the way they are. Well, I tell you, we stop electing them, there have to be some changes. And we put some people in there that really are born again. We can shift every seat of government. There are over 100 million of us. We can shift every seat of government. But you know why? Politicians don't pay no attention to us. We don't stick together. Here you have a minority group of people, LGBT community, and we don't hate them. They're people. They're just like us. They're people. They're just misguided. You know, a lot of the thinking is twisted based on the Bible. Okay, based on the Bible. And so you have a minority group of people, less than 2%. They're controlling the agenda in this nation because we do a lot of talking, but that's it. And just like PayPal come out and start talking, making noise, and these corporations start making noise, you need to make some noise. Say, you know what, I'm not using your services no more, and tell all your friends. Yeah, we can do business. We were doing business before PayPal. That's right. You're not shifting things for us. We're shifting it for you. And we get together, I'm telling you, they'll be at our door sitting in our churches making donations. Amen, somebody. I'm a bit radical, but praise the Lord. Amen. Hear this. Number two, why do people resist change? I'm going to try to be through in the next 5 minutes. Why do people resist change? A person may be kept from changing by loyalty to friends, loyalty to family, or even a memory. Sameness is familiar and safe. Hear this. While change feels like a betrayal of ideas. In other words, you have to abandon the old way of thinking. Isn't that what you're supposed to do when you become a Christian? Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There has to be change. Amen. There has to be change. Oh, glory to God. Learning to embrace change. Hear this. Recognize that all change involves loss. You're going to lose something. You're going to lose an old way of life. You're going to lose some old friends. You're going to lose that old way of thinking. Recognize that all change involves loss. Next, be clear about what is unsatisfactory in your life. The desire to escape anxiety, frustration, boredom, and the need to expand your horizons drive change. People say, I had enough. If you don't ever come to the point where you've had enough, you'll keep doing the same thing. You like the children of Israel. You take another lap around the Sinai. Next, define what you want to leave behind and why. And then remind yourself of it constantly. Some people go back to where they used to be because they didn't remind themselves of why they left. There are some places, I tell you, I never revisit. Somebody said, once your mind has been stretched by a new idea, seldom will it return to its original dimensions. You got to keep stretching yourself. I look at my mother. She just turned 80 just a couple of days ago. My mom, she just keeps stretching herself. My mom, she got her tablet. She's looking up things. I mean, she's just expanding herself. She's listening to things that are building her up. And she want to have conversation with people that are intelligent. Why? Because she thinks she's intelligent. Amen. Next, define your goal or path to achieving it. Define your goal or path to achieving it. Why? Because people who are conscious of their purpose fulfill their purpose. People that are conscious of their purpose fulfill their purpose. When you define what you desire, you will find ways to make change work for you. When you define what you desire, you will find ways to make change work for you. If your goals are cloudy, clarify them. Clarify them. Sometimes we bite off too much at one time. Sometimes you just got to get smaller pieces. But stay focused on where you're headed. Amen, somebody. Amen. Another thing to embrace change, find role models. Find people that have already done what you're wanting to do. Find people that have gone through adversity. And see how they did it. Hear this, people. In order to bring about change, ask questions. May I change that? Ask intelligent questions. Amen. Remember Jesus said, change your attitudes and your actions, for an invasion of the Spirit is imminent. And last but not least, ask for support. If anybody get anywhere, they had somebody else to help them. I read this one day, and it just resonated with me, because I come from the woods of Virginia. I didn't come from the hood. I came out of the woods. And so they're around all the farms and everything. They had a fencing all the way around their property and all. And I read this, and I just could see it on my inside. They said, if you're ever driving down the long country road and you see a turtle sitting on a fence post, realize he had some help. He didn't get that by himself. He had some help. Amen. Yes, I tell you, I've had a lot of help in my life. And I'm still asking for help. Now hear this. The formula for failure is a few errors in judgment every day. A few errors in judgment every day. Yet the formula for success is a few simple disciplines practiced every day. Practice every day. This morning, I had a thought come into my mind on this past week. And thoughts come into all our minds. I'm no different than you. I tell you, it would be amazing just to hear some of the thoughts that come into your mind. Probably some brilliant thoughts. But thoughts are like a dime a dozen until you act on them. This one thought come to my mind about reading through, hear this, reading through the New Testament, the Gospels, every month. Every month, just read through the New Testament. And I said the New Testament, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Whatever day it is, it just came to me. Whatever day it is, just read those chapters. It's only four chapters, right? Now, some of them got some long verses, you know, a lot of verses. But at least we're not in Psalms 119, okay? And all of a sudden, you begin to get a different perspective, and the Holy Spirit will have something to work with. See, this is my private time. And I just pull aside, I just open up, I start, today's the 10th, I read the 10th chapter of Matthew. Then I flipped over, and Mark, I read the 10th chapter of Mark. Then I turned over to Luke, I read the 10th chapter of Luke. And then I turned over to John, I read the 10th chapter of John. And guess what? I read it out loud. You read faster that way, rather than just being quiet and reading, because your thoughts start running. And they can interrupt you. And you can have some good ideas when you're supposed to be reading. You got to recognize those distractions and deal with them. And sometimes we're our biggest problem from change and moving forward. And you got to recognize it and get out of your way. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. The importance of change. We cannot stress it enough. The next time you see me, guess what? I'm going to be at another level. Amen. I'm not going to take a picture where you see me right now, because you see me the next time, I'm going to be at another level. My conversation is going to be at another level. Amen. My life is going to be at another. My finances is going to be at another level. My net worth is going to be at another level. My health is going to be at another level. You know why? Because I embrace change.